Morning. Today's daf Nida Samech Beis. We're on Samech Alfam Beis, just wrapping up from yesterday's sugya. We talked about where we lost the kesem. It was in the Beged, and then we don't know where it is in the Beged. It got mixed up with a bunch of other stains. We talked about what happens if I lose shatnez. I have a Beged and I have shatnez in it, and I don't know where the shatnez is. Shatnez is a wool linen, and in terms of a tarovis, in terms of a mixture, so it's just one thread of linen, and it goes through an entire garment of wool, and that garment now is shatnez, so you're not allowed to wear it. And what happens if I lost that linen? I don't know where it is. So we discussed a little bit yesterday. We could use it for tachrichin, for mace, which engendered a tremendous discussion in the Gemara. Short discussion in the Gemara, but really important discussion regarding the nature of mitzvahs as it relates to a dead person. Questions of tchias amesim, like big questions, and the Gemara handles them in about a couple of lines. But anyway, the Gemara, we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Amar Afarim Bar Papa, right in the middle of the Amud, on Samech Alfa Midbeis. Amar Rav Chista Beged Shavabo Kalaim Tzovo Mutter. So if you have a Beged and you don't know where the Kalaim is, so you dye it, and it would be Mutter. Now dyeing it would be Mutter, why? Why should that be? So if you take a look at Rashi right over here, Tzovo Mutter, Shai Deyat Tzeva, who nicker? Because what's going to happen is that the dye is going to basically tell us where the wool is and where the linen is. Why? Rashi continues. Because what happens is that linen and wool do not collect dye in the same manner. Pishtan is much harder, and so therefore it does not have the kind of absorption, it doesn't collect the color. Wool, on the other hand, does. Now, let's say after going through the dyeing process, I just simply can't find the linen. So Rashi says, perfect. In other words, so now you know that wherever the linen was, the linen's gone. I'm le Rav from Bar Papa, back to the Gemara, Manala le Sabaha. I'm le Masisin, he did not. He says, look, I know the following Mishnah, Bodek Ashimagil Asela. Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah in yesterday's daf described the scenario where I know there was Tumah there, and then I lost the Tumah. So what do you do? So you do Bedika. And once you do a Bedika, you're good. That's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. Okay, machlok is whether the checking is good enough, but the position the halach is the checking is going to be good enough. Here too. So I had a wool garment, I had a little bit of linen get mixed in. So you do a bedika and that should be fine. V leka emar orev natla. Now if it's not there, we'll just simply say that along comes a raven and it took the mace away. So hachanami emar vekisna ba'adadi lo salak luhut siva. So the Gemara now tells us what Rashi already explained to us, but of course Rashi got it from the Gemara, and that is that when I dye wool and linen together, they don't collect the dye in the same manner. The kim de la yada emar minta natar. And if we now dyed it, and there's no anomaly, there's no discoloration, everything collected the dye in the same manner, so good, so linen's not there. Where'd it go? Minta natar. It broke off. It fell off. But in other words, it's not here. Let's say you took a linen thread and you put it in a wool garment, vinakte. And then what you did is you started pulling the linen thread out and it kind of snapped. Now you're not totally, So you pulled out the linen thread, there was a little bit of a snap. Can I say that all the linen came out? So the Gemara says, yeah, you could say it, even though you don't know for sure. Now, the Gemara says, my time. And now, if you think about it, why? Meaning, you know that this was a Beged Shatnez. You know that there was a linen thread running through it. You pulled out the linen thread. Okay, so you're not sure if it all came out. So under those circumstances, why can you be Mekel? Seemingly, it's an Issa D'Oraisa. And it's a Suffolk Issa D'Oraisa. You should be Machmer. So what the Gemara is about to teach us is that it's not a Suffolk Issa D'Oraisa. It's a Suffolk Issa D'Rabbanan. Why? So the Gemara goes on to explain. My time in midar, I say shatnez ksiv achihe shua tavivinuz. Because in order for a garment to be shatnez, it has to be wool and linen. But it's more detailed than that. In order for there to be a violation of shatnez min haTorah, it's got to go through three steps, three processes together. Then and only then is a shatnez min haTorah. Now, what are these three processes? So the way Rashi describes it, shua is combed, and tavui is to spin it, and nuz is that it is woven together. According to Rashi, the wool and linen must be combed, spun, and woven together in order to create shatnez min haTorah. Now, the way Rashi describes it, you can see the Rashi here inside, but the way Rashi describes it, it sounds like from Rashi that the only way you're going to get to shatnez min haTorah is if these three processes were done to the wool and linen while both of them are together. Now that's a first of all, just to get to that point, that to get to Shinas Min HaTorah is a real feat, right? It's a real trick to get to Shinas Min HaTorah. But on top of that, also aside from the fact that it's almost nearly impossible, but on top of that, Tosfos has other questions. Tosfos gives a different pshat, and I'm not going to go through it right now, but I'm just simply direct you. See the bottom, Tosfos over here, where Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's assertion that to violate Shinas Min HaTorah, these three processes have to be done to these two different materials together. Tosfos doesn't agree necessarily with Rashi's assertion. See the bottom, Tosfos on the Amud. Anyway, back to our Gemara. But to learn our Gemara, it's really simple. Meaning, our Gemara is pointing out that because these three processes were not done to the one linen together, it's not Shinas Min HaTorah, which means now that it's only Shinas Min DeRabbanan. Okay, now it's an Issa DeRabbanan. And now, if there's a suffix, we could be Mako. V'Rabbanan hu deGazru Bavikim deLayada Intake Sharei. And so, since you pulled it out and you're not sure if it all came out, so now we're dealing with a suffix. It's a suffix DeRabbanan. We could be Mako. It's Mutter. Michael Ravashi Emer Oshoa Otovi Onoz. So the Gemara says, okay, but I know Shatnez. And by the way, I'm not sure I made this point clear. How do we get to these three processes? Because we take the word shatnez and basically look at it as a contraction. The word shatnez, which in of itself is a strange word, meaning it's a one-time usage in the Torah in terms of where we see the word shatnez. So the Gemara understands it to be a contraction of the word shua, tavui, and nuz. So it's a contraction. So the Gemara says, but maybe what the Torah means is that I don't need to do all three of these processes. Yeah. Maybe one of these processes would be enough in order to make it a Shinas Min HaTorah. The Ilchus HaKamar Zutra. The Gemara says, no, that's not the accepted halacha. The halacha is like Mar Zutra, that you need to do all three. Mida Afkin Rachmana Bichada Lishna. Because the Torah uses one word to describe all three processes, it means you have to do all three processes. Okay, Adkan. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara now picks up on a new point regarding Samim. Beget Savua Mitame Mishum Kesem. So Beget Savua, color clothing. So again, Kesem, as we've been discussing now for the last perek and a half, the eighth perek and now the ninth perek of Masechta Nida is talking about Kesem. That's talking about a stain that's discovered on a garment. The woman did not experience a Hargasha as a stain left her. So this stain now is going to make this woman a Nida, but not Min HaTorah. As we talked about in the beginning of the eighth parak, in order for a woman to be a nida min HaTorah, there must be a hargasha. If there's no hargasha, so then she is not a nida min HaTorah. But nevertheless, with the discovery of a kesem, and the kesem most probably came from her, in other words, that was the mission that we described in detail regarding the forensics of where it was discovered. So that was the beginning of the ninth parak. I should say better, towards the beginning of the ninth parak. No, I'm sorry, the eighth. That goes back to the eighth parak. Anyway. So where the kesem is discovered, the beginning of the eighth parak, sorry. So where the kesem is discovered, it must be that, depending on where we find it, it came directly from her. So this woman now is a nida midrabbanan, but not min HaTorah. What we're learning together now is what if the kesem is discovered on an article of clothing, but it's not white. The clothing is not white, but rather it's color. And the Gemara here doesn't describe what color, and presumably it could be any color. And what we're going to see now is there's a machlokas hatanayim, whether or not the gzera of kesem is going to apply if it lands on a clothing of color. So Tanu Rabbanan beget tzavua mitamei mishum kesem. So according to the Tanakama, if it's colored clothing and it has a kesem discovered on it, it is tamei. And Rabbi Nosson bar Yosef amar ein mitamei mishum kesem. And Rabbi Nosson bar Yosef says no. Shelo tiknu bigdei tzivonim leisha ela lahakil akis mehem. So the institution on colored clothing is only to be makel on them. Tiknu, my takninu. So the Gemara says, what do you mean they instituted colored clothing? Ella, shalohutra begedei tzivon lo'isha, ella lahakel akis mayim. So the Gemara now does a small modification of the statement. Hutru begedei tzivonim, they allow colored clothing. Hutru, mechlal dasiri, what do you mean? It sounds like wearing colored clothing is aser. So the Gemara says, in, denam bepoma shel espanyas gazru ala taros chasanim. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, we can... There is something to be said regarding Gzeira. And the Gemara goes on to explain that the during one of the later Roman occupations, so there were various Gzeiras that were made. And Alataros Chasanim, the crowns worn by the Chasan. The Chasan back in the day wore a crown. And because of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, because we have to minimize our Simcha, so therefore they were told not to wear these crowns. The Al Ha'iros. And there was a kind of bell, some sort of musical instrument, where it used to be played, but not anymore. And Bikshu Ligzor al Bigdei Tzivonim. So and then they thought to make a gzera on color clothing. And Amri Hadifa Kedela Hakal Kismeim. No, in other words, even though color clothing is a sign of simcha and happiness, and in theory we should make a gzera not to wear these kinds of clothing again as a zecher churban beis hamikdash. But now the Gemara says, but the side effect of making such a gzera is that the woman will no longer be enabled to use the heter of color clothing. Meaning, when a woman wears a color garment, so and there's a kesem that's found on it, she's not going to be a nida. And we would prefer that women would have a way of protecting themselves, so to say, from the gzera derabbanan of ksamim by wearing color clothing. So the Gemara says, so they didn't make a gzera. That's the hutra. That's why you understand now the language of hutra, because there was a thought to make a gzera, but the chachamim thought otherwise. Okay, halach is, by the way, that a kesem that falls on a color garment that is found on a color garment, so that kesem is not going to make her a nida, not midaraisa, not midarabbanan. Okay. There's more to it than that, but for now, we're going to continue. We're on the bottom of Samach Alf Amid Beis. We're now looking at a mission together, and we're up to the mission of Shiva Samamanim. Okay, there are seven chemicals, seven agents. Basically, what we're looking to do is as follows. If, in fact, there's a kesem found on a garment, so the kesem may be blood. And again, if found in a direct line from the woman, so there's a chance, let's call it a good chance. No, let's just call it a chance that the blood is discharged from the woman, and this now represents blood. Now, as far as the woman is concerned, is she a nida or not? Midrabanan, she's a nida. But we've already discussed that now for the last parak and a half. What about the actual blood itself that's found on the garment? Okay, so the blood itself is also a avatuma, as we've discussed numerous times. The blood that comes out from a woman who is a nida, the blood itself is now going to be an avatuma. And so now, when you find a kesem on a garment, there are really two discussions that we're going to be having almost simultaneously. One is it blood or is it something other than blood? Okay, so we're going to learn a test together, right? The seven chemical test that we're about to see together in the Mishnah, so it'll identify whether it's blood or whether it's not blood. And we'll see exactly what the test is going to prove. Number two, at the very same time, we also are having the following discussion. There's blood now on the garment. Now, the blood is an avatuma. So can I somehow remove the blood from the garment so the blood's no longer an avatuma? Meaning, we just basically, how do you clean the garment from its tuma? Okay, so it happens to be that this seven chemicals are going to be doing two things. One, it's going to be serving as a test to see what it is. And two, it's also going to remove the blood so that it's no longer an avatuma. Let's learn the Mishnah together, and we'll discuss a little bit more about this after we see the Mishnah. Shiva simanim ma'avir nala kesem. There are seven chemicals that are put onto the kesem, and these are obviously all organic materials. Some of them are human based, some of them are plant based, some of them are mineral. We don't know exactly what each one of these are. We're going to do the best of our ability to describe them, define them. We are somewhat at a loss in terms of what every one of these are. So, but Rok Tefel, number one, is saliva. Number two, megrisim, that is beans. What does it mean, megrisim? So stay tuned, the Gemara is going to explain a little bit better. Actually, the Mishnah will. Number three, meraglim, that's urine. Number four, neser. Neser is some sort of mineral. Number five is boris, another type of mineral. Six and seven is kuminya and ashleg. Okay, not shelleg. Ashleg. Okay, so there are seven items that are described. Now, hidbilu va'asa agabav taharos. The Mishnah goes on to explain as follows. Let's say that before we took the seven agents and we put it over the garment, so we toveled the garment in the mikvah. And then hidbilu va'asa agabav taharos. So I toveled them in the mikvah. I toveled the garment in the mikvah with the kesem on it. And then after having taken it out, so then we use taharos on top of the garment. Hever alav shiva simanim v'lo avar. So now, I told them the mikvah, and what good was that tefillah in the mikvah? Nothing. Well, not nothing, but if in fact this kesem represents blood, so now I could say comfortably, nothing. Meaning because, what happens when you tovel a sheretz in the mikvah? Nothing. In other words, it's still a sheretz and it's still an avatumba. And the same thing is true with the blood. You take the blood, the garment with a stain of blood on it, and you tovel in the mikvah, and it comes out of the mikvah, it's still an avatuma. So nothing happens. So, he tbilavasa agabai taharas. Hevi olav shima simanim. Now, after having gone through this, then you apply the seven chemical agents. Velo avar. And now, the stain doesn't remove with these seven agents. So, under these circumstances, harezet seva. At this point in time now, here's what we could say. We could say that it is now not blood. Meaning, what we're expecting to see, if in fact this was blood, is that the blood is either going to be totally removed, or it's going to, partially remove, right? It's going to fade. Somehow I lost that word in my head. So it's either going to totally remove or it's going to fade. If, however, after putting these seven chemicals on in the order that was the mission was given to us, it doesn't affect the stain at all, so the stain is a tseva, meaning it's not blood and it's just a color. And as a result of that, so now let's just go through the steps of what happened in the Mishnah. So we have a garment with a stain on it, with a red stain on it. Now we told them the mikvah, which again, if it's blood, it didn't help. We took it out of the mikvah and then we used it for taharos. And then we did the test. And with the test, nothing happened. The color didn't fade. The color didn't go away. So what becomes of that? So now we could say that it's seva, that it's a color. And as a result of that, all the taharos are still tahar. And that's what the Mishnah teaches us. Ha taharos, taharos. Venus sarach lahatzbil. And there's no need to tov on the mikveh again. Aver shadia. However, if let's say, instead of the, instead of not responding to the seven chemicals, let's say, either the stain went away or it faded. So now we know that it is blood. And so therefore all the taharos that were worked previously with his garment are now tameh, and you must tovel the garment in the mikvah because the garment now has not gone through a tefillah. Now it has gone through a tefillah, but that's while the blood was on it. While the blood was on it, the tefillah, the first tefillah was nothing. So now that we discovered that it was blood, so now we have to tovel in the mikvah again. Okay. That's an excellent point, and we're going to come back to that point a little bit later this morning. Okay, good. All right, so what do we have right now? We have in front of us a Mishnah teaching us about the seven agents, what we're looking to test, and at the very same time, also, not only will it test that it's blood, but if in fact it's blood, what the seven chemical agents will do is it's going to remove the blood. Okay, and as Danny just pointed out, if it just fades, so seemingly that's not good enough, but we're going to come back to that point a little bit later. Ezu rok tofo. Now, the Mishnah itself wants to give us somewhat better definitions of some of these chemical agents. So, first of all, we're talking about spit. So, spit, it's called rok tafel. Now, rok means spit, but what does tafel mean? It means that we're talking about a person who hasn't eaten in some time. Now, again, with all these definitions, we could use even further definitions. What does that mean, some time? It's not clear, but anyway, he hasn't eaten in some time. May grisim leisus grisim shalpul chalukas nefesh. In terms of the beans, so the beans have been chewed on or maybe soaked. May raglaim shechmitzu. In terms of urine, it's urine that's been sitting for a while, fermented. And what you have to do is you have to rub each one of these agents into the garment three times. And the Mishnah says you got to follow directions perfectly. If you do it out of order, meaning you do the seven agents but out of order, or if you do the seven agents but simultaneously, that is nothing. That is perfectly ineffective. In order for the seven agents to be a good test and also to be a good removal of the blood, it must be done in the order that was presented in the Mishnah. Tana, I'm going to run through these next pieces of Gemara quickly because, again, more attempts on the part of the Gemara now to give better definition of some of these agents. Neser, Alexandrius, Velo Neser, Antapris. So the Neser is being described in our Mishnah has to be coming from Alexandria, not from Antapris. Okay, I know that helps all of us. Boris, Amar of Yehuda, Zu Alo. So Boris is Alo. Va'atanya, Boris, Va'ohel. The Gemara quotes a Brisa where describing two minerals calls it Boris and Ahal. So Elamai Boris Kavrisa. So the Gemara says, okay. So maybe Boris over here is referring to sulfur. So the Gemara, and it's therefore, it's not vegetable, but rather now we're describing it as a mineral. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, very minuel. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, let's take a look at a brisa regarding what is subject to the Kedusha Shvi'is during the Shemitah year. So all vegetation, not all, most vegetation is subject to Shemitah, And however, they added some things to the list. The Chachamim added. Now, obviously, what they're adding are things that are, obviously, it has to be a vegetable. It has to be growth. It just happens to be that it's not a classic fruit. It's not a classic vegetable. And so, therefore, it in of itself, it wouldn't have been subject to Shemitah, but the Chachamim added to the list. And one of the things they added to the list was boris. Now, you're telling me that boris is sulfur, it's mineral? There's no way they're adding mineral to that which has Kedusha Shvi'is. Kedusha Shvi'is is only for something which is a growth, a vegetable growth. V'iboris kavrisa mi'is le shvi'is v'atanan z'aklo. Kol she'ish lo ikar, yesh lo shvi'is. V'chol she'in lo ikar, ein lo shvi'is. And the only things that are subject to Shemitah are things that grow from the ground. And a mineral is not something that grows from the ground. It doesn't take a root. Elamai boris ha'olam. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to what we said previously, that the boris described in our Mishnah is aloe. Va'atanya ha-boris va'ohel, yeah, but the reason why we didn't like that pshat is because the Braisa is listing boris and ohel as two separate things. So trei gavni ohelah, so the Gemara says, yeah, there's aloe and there's aloe, different types of aloe. One is called ohelah, the other one is called boris, but they're both different types of aloe. Kamunya, amar Rav Yehuda shluftotz. So it's a type of chalk. Ashleg, Amr Shmuel Shaltin Lenechuse Yama, Vamu Ashlag Ashmei. We went and we asked the people in the islands what exactly the Ashleg is of our Mishnah, and they refer to it as Ashlaga. Umishtakech Beni Nikve Barganisa. What you're going to do is you're going to find it when you are collecting pearls. Umafkale Beremitsa de Parzala. You take an iron pick and you pick at the area between the pearls, and you're going to get this growth, this Ashlaga that we're describing right now. As you can see, by the way, over the course of the last Gemaras, obviously, we're really going to be at a real loss in terms of giving proper identification to what these items are. Okay, now let's go back, and I'll slow down just a little bit, and now we're going to go over again the idea of what these chemical agents do. If you take these chemical agents and you put it over the stain in the order that was given in the Mishnah, so if it's blood, the blood is either going to go away or it's going to fade. Okay, hitbila va'asa, tana rabbanan. So let's say the seven agents were put over it and it didn't respond. And now, tsafon v'avar. And then what you do is you take some soap, right? Sabon. You take some soap and all of a sudden the stain gets lifted. So taharasav, tameos. So the braisa says, oh, okay, fine. Now, if previously with this garment you were working with taharos and this garment came into contact with taharos, so now the taharos are tame. To which the Gemara says, what? I don't understand that braisa at all. In other words, you put the seven agents on, the stain didn't respond to the seven agents, which I thought we learned in the Mishnah means that it's not blood, it's just some other red dye. And now you're telling me that if I work and because the stain got lifted with the soap, so now taharos tameos, it's hard to understand. Safon tsevinami maver. And on top of that, you know what happens when you take soap and you put it over a stain? It lifts the stain. So in other words, it's not blood, it's a stain. It's just some other stain. And the soap lifted it. So the Gemara says it can't be that we're learning the Braisa correctly. So what we're going to do is we're going to edit the Braisa. Ella, have your love, shisha simanim. So the Gemara says like this. We didn't use all seven agents. We used six of the seven. Velo avar. Now the stain didn't lift. Have your love, safon v'avar. And now we put soap on. And now the stain lifted. Tarosav tameos. So now, as far as taharos are concerned, they're tame. Why? She'im hevir shvi'im mitzchila shem avar. Because you didn't put the seventh agent on. And we don't know. In other words, the test was just simply inconclusive. We didn't do the test correctly. If we would have done the test correctly and we would have put all seven agents on, so what could have very well happened is that the stain would have lifted. But we didn't get to number seven. We stopped at number six. And since we stopped at number six, so therefore the test was simply inconclusive, or let's just say better, the test was not done correctly. And now the stain gets lifted with soap, so what? Meaning that doesn't mean that it's not blood. It could very well be blood. And the blood just simply was removed because you put a detergent in order to remove the blood. Okay, so we have to therefore say that historically, this garment that was used for taharos, those taharos are going to be tame. Tanya Yidach Gemar teaches us another braisa. Have your love shiva samanim v'lo avar. You put the seven agents on, and the stain did not react to the seven agents, which again now leads us to believe it's not blood. Okay, and then shanan of the avar, and then what you did is you did the test again, and the blood was removed. Taharos of taharos. So as far as anything that was this garment was used for previously are going to be tahor. Now, what happened over here in this particular braisa? That's strange. He applied the seven agents the first time, and the stain was not lifted. Now again, if it doesn't respond to the seven agents put on in the correct order, so that leads us to believe that it's not blood, but rather it's just simply some other red dye. But then, for some reason, the person did the test again. And in the second round of doing the test, so the stain now was lifted. Okay, so obviously now it's confusing. And then the Braisa concludes with the words that if you use this beged in conjunction with other taharos, the other taharos remain tahor. Obviously, all this remains confusing. So Amar Rav Zera Loshanu Ela Atar Shanasu Bein Tachmosus Rishon L'Shniya. When we're saying over here is that all the taharos are tahor, that's only between laundering number one and laundering number two. Aval taharos shenasu achar tachmosus shniya. But for anything that was used after tachmosus number two, after the second laundering, taharosav tameos. So the taharos are going to be tamei. Why? Sharei hikbid alav va'avar. Because clearly the stain was bothering him. And clearly, meaning he put the seven agents on, the stain didn't respond to the seven agents, okay. And what he should have done at that point in time is, okay, we're good. In other words, it's not blood. But meanwhile, because he went through the process again, clearly he was being makbid, and so therefore, it's now going to have the status of being dam. And that means to say that even after the second laundering now, we're clearly now because, now, this part is a little bit confusing, admittedly. Why didn't the blood get removed with the first round of testing, where the testing seemingly was done well, and the blood did fade after the second testing? I'm at a loss to explain how that happened. But by virtue of the fact that he did a second round, and by virtue of the fact that there's still some blood there, he clearly, that blood bothers him, he's machbit about that blood, and therefore it is going to be tamei from the second laundering and onward. What is it going to be, Matame?
If you
fully wash it out, then it's not going to be Tame anymore. You need to tovel in the mikvah, but in other words, after the second laundering, that it responded to the test, and now you see that it's blood. So now, from that point going forward, it's Tame. Now, Amale Rabbi Abba Ravashi, meet the Bikpeda Talia Milsa. So as we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis, Rabbi Abba says to Ravashi, I don't understand. In other words, isn't this an objective? It's blood or it's not blood? It responded to the test or it didn't respond to the test? What does this Hakpada have anything to do with this? If it's blood and it responds to the test, that it's blood, so fine. But remember, the test does two things, as we've discussed now since the beginning of the Mishnah. One is that it tells us whether it's blood or not. And number two, if in fact it's blood, so what happens now if the test is done successfully? It's either going to clean it out totally, or it's going to fade it a little bit. But even upon fading, it's going to be tahor from this point going forward. It's mevatel the blood. So, and over here, it's because he's makpid, so therefore it's going to be tamei. I'm so confused. So Amar Leih, so the response is in, no, you know what? No. Hakpada plays a big role in it. D'tanya, because of the following braisa. Rabbi Chia Omer Damanida Vadai Mavi Alav Zayin Semanim Umevatlo. So if it's Damanida Vadai, I know it's Damanida. And so what you're going to do is you're going to take the seven agents and you're going to be Mevato. Here's a perfect illustration of where I don't need it as a test. I know it's Damanida. But okay, good. So now what am I doing the seven agents for? For the other purpose. And that's for Bittel. Meaning now I want to remove the blood. Now, mind you, by the way, you're removing the blood. You know, of course, afterwards, you're going to have to tovel the garment in the mikvah. Meaning, all you did now is just remove the avatama. But it's still, obviously, still going to be tama. You have to tovel the mikvah. Okay, that's fine. But the point over here is that I'm using the seven agents to be mevato. So, ve'amai hadam nida hu ama bekveda talia milsa. So, over here, what did the seven agents do? The seven agents took off the superficial layer. There's a little bit underneath. In other words, there's still a little bit of the blood, presumably. There's still a little bit of blood absorbed inside. And that doesn't bother me. I'm not makbid about that. And because I'm not makbid about that, so therefore it's not going to be tummy. Hachanami bikpeda talia milsa. Okay, and so over here as well, so you see that peda plays a big role in it. Tanan hasam. Now, before we start with the upcoming Gemara, so basically the idea over here is as follows. The idea over here is that dam is going to be an avatama. But once it gets to the point where I'm no longer concerned about it, it doesn't bother me anymore, it no longer presents itself as an avatama. Why do I need to then pass over the seven agents altogether? Meaning, why not just simply say, when the blood is on the garment, okay, you know what? I don't care about it. So Tosfos asked that question. Tosfos on the second Tosfos on the Amud Beis says, no, that's not going to work. Vim tomer im kein matzorch ba'avar simanim. Kevin de mevata b'libo sage. Isn't bitter going to be working? V'yeshomer de baladaita itzel kol adam im yivat lenu b'lo shiva samamanim. So Tosfos writes over here that that's not normal thought processes. And when dealing with bittul, you also have to work with what is considered in normal thinking. And if the blood is caked on a piece of garment and you just simply say, it doesn't bother me, that's not normal. And so you want to do bittul, bittul doesn't work in that circumstance. After having gone over with the seven agents and all you have now is just a fade, so then if you're makpid, then it still is an avatumah. And if you're not makpid, it's no longer an avatumah. But you have to consider what people normally think. Okay. With this, all this in mind, Tanan Hassan, we're going to start now with a Mishnah. Now, Danny touched on this point earlier, and now the Gemara is addressing this, and we're addressing it now straight on. When I have blood that's on the garment, so obviously it represents an avatuma, and it's not absorbed in the garment, although that's not true. Some of it's absorbed in the garment, but let's assume that there's a layer on top of it, and that obviously represents an avatuma. And again, as we've just gone through over the course of this morning, the seven agents being washed over it is going to at least take off the top layer. It'll take off a little bit of the absorption as well. Fine. When I apply the seven agents over it and I remove the top layer and anything that's left over is now inside, we just learned together, if I don't care about it, it's fine. And if I do care about it, so then it's still going to be an avatuma. Now, the blood that's absorbed in the garment. So we have a concept that we talk about constantly throughout Tuma and Tahara, and that's what's called Tuma Balua. Tuma Balua, the classic example of Tuma Balua is you have a woman who's pregnant, and Rachmanis, the baby died inside of her. So while the baby's inside of her, while the remains of the fetus is inside of her, and even though it's a mace, but it's absorbed in her body. And as such, and she basically serves as insulation for the Tuma. The tumma does not escape her. Now, once the mace leaves her body, obviously now the remains of the fetus is going to be an avatumma. It's going to be tumma's mace. But inside of her, it's insulated. She insulates the tumma. And it works in both directions, by the way. It works also in the direction where you are let's leave it like that for now. Sorry. I don't need to make it more confusing. So anyway, this is the idea. This is the concept of what's called tumma balua. So with that in mind, so when I have blood that's absorbed in the garment itself, it's in the fabric, it's in the fibers of the fabric. So presumably that's what's called tuma balua. Okay, and with that stated now, we're going to learn a Mishnah and Kelim together. The Mishnah and Kelim, Charasna Shinashamash Bam Zav Shebalo Mashkin. Let's say I have earthenware that was used by a Zav. And Rashi says a simple example is that it was an earthenware toilet bowl. And that means that the Zav urinated into this bowl. Now, as we already learned together, the urine is an avatuma. It's mayanos, and so therefore the urine's an avatuma. And it was bolei amashkin v'naflu la'avir tanur. Now, a shard of the toilet bowl went into an oven. Now, an oven also is earthenware, and we know what is the nature of earthenware. It is going to be tamei mibifnim. Once the tuma goes into the interior area of the oven, the earthenware oven, the oven now is going to become tamei. Okay. But over here, consider that even though the urine of a Zav is an avatuma, currently the urine of the Zav is absorbed in the toilet bowl shard. And so it's the shard of the toilet bowl that went into the oven. So if you think about it, it's not that the urine went into the oven. It's the urine that's absorbed in the toilet bowl shard that went into the oven. And so now, what do we say over here?
But is this shard considered tame itself?
The shard itself is tame, but the shard is not an avatuma. The only thing that's metame a kli, right? The only thing that's metame a kli is an avatuma. So the urine itself is an avatuma. The shard that's been absorbed in is going to be tame, but it's only a risha. Okay. So now the Mishnah here in Kalim is going to teach us what happens under the circumstances.
A sheretz is an avatuma.
So zav shebalo mashkim v'naflu la'avir hatanur, and it goes into the airspace of the oven. Vuhusak hatanur. Now, you heat up the oven. Hatanur tamei shesof mashkalatzes. So, the tanur of the oven is going to be tamei because what happens with the heating? What happens with the heating is that the shard now that was put in there is going to start, so to say, sweating. It's going to start expelling the urine that's inside of it. Now that the urine has come out into the area, into the interior airspace of the oven, so now the oven's going to be tummy. So this Mishnah in Kalim is basically telling us that the liquid, while it's absorbed in the shard, is going to be insulated, and it's not going to be considered as if it's in the oven. Only when the urine exits the shard and enters into the airspace of the oven, then and only then the oven becomes tummy. That's the Mishnah in Kalim. Now, on this Mishnah in Kalim, we have a debate. Amar Reish Lakish Shloshanu Ala Mashkim Kalim, Ava Mashkim Chamorim Tameh, Afa Pishalo Husa Katanor. So Reish Lakish says that when it comes to Mashkim Kalim, Rashi explains over here, means not Mayanos, but other secretions that come out of the Zav. We talked about this not so long ago, right? The tears that come out of a Zav. So that's what's called Mashkim Kalim. They are not a source of Tama. They are only going to be a recipient of Tama. It's a Mashka. So that's what we're describing. But says Reish Lakish. Now, it's interesting. The Mishnah over here doesn't say what exactly it was that came out of the Zav onto it. Now, I said it was urine, but Reish Lakish disagrees with the way I presented the Mishnah. Reish Lakish says that if it's urine that went into the shard, and that shard went into the oven, so according to Reish Lakish, the oven is Tameh right now, even before the urine exits the shard. The Gemara's assumption is that the first thing that it does is that it comes out of the shard. That's the Gemara's assumption.
Physically, that doesn't really make sense.
Okay, I'm telling you what the Gemara's assumptions are. Okay, we could talk about it afterwards, but that's the Gemara's assumption. Rav Yochanan Amar Echad Mashkim Kalim VeEchad Mashkim Chamorim Im Husa Katanor In Ilo Lo. And according to Rav Yochanan, no, Mashkim Kalim Mashkim Chamorim, they both are only going to become tameh, are only going to be metameh the oven, only after the oven is heated, but not before the oven is heated. Because while those liquids are inside the shard, they are balua. They are absorbed in the shard and therefore are not going to be metameh the oven. And so basically, Rav Yochanan's position is much easier for me to defend because what he's basically subscribing to is the idea of tameh balua. When the urine is inside the shard, absorbed inside the shard, so then that urine is going to be absorbed in the shard. And so therefore, even though the shard is put into a larger oven, earthenware oven, but the urine right now is insulated, encased in the shard. And so therefore, it's not going to be metameh the oven. And according to Rav Yochanan, it doesn't matter what the liquid is inside the shard, whether it's a mashke or it's an actual mayan, it's actual urine, it doesn't matter. Mashenkin, according to Reish Lakish, if we're talking about mashken, so we can make this distinction of whether the oven was heated or whether the oven was not heated. But if we're talking about actual urine, which is a mayan, so then that is going to be metameh the oven, even though it's absorbed in the shard. Now, does that mean that Reish Lakish doesn't subscribe to Tumah Balua? It's kind of hard to imagine. That's why my defense of Reish Lakish is just going to be a little bit harder, because I can't imagine that he doesn't subscribe to Tumah Balua. Maybe over here he doesn't subscribe to Tumah Balua. Okay. Eitzver Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, but now Rav Yochanan is going to go on the attack. And here we go. Hitbilav asa agabav taros ve'evi or lav zayin samanim v'lo avar harizet seva v'tarosav taros ve'ein sarach lahat bil. So, you go over with the seven agents. And, again, step number one, with the garment with the stain on it, you tovel the mikvah right away. Okay? And again, if it's blood, didn't do anything. And then step number two, you worked with this garment a lot of taharos. Okay, so you did a lot before testing. And like we said earlier this morning, you should have tested first, but fine. And then you did the testing. And now the seven chemical agents, it didn't respond. And again, that tells us it's not blood. So over here, what do we see? We see that the taharos are in fact tahor. And there's no requirement of toveling. Now, there may be some blood inside. It doesn't matter. In other words, what is presenting to us right now is it seva, it's a dye, and so therefore it's fine. So amale hanachlik summoned Rabbanan. So Reish Lakish says, leave that brisa out of the discussion. That brisa is talking about a kesem. A kesem is a din de Rabbanan. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, this halacha is not limited to kesem. We learned just moments earlier this morning that even if it's mamish damnida, you know it's damnida, and it's in a garment. So what you do is you take the zayin samanim and you're mevatel it. Isn't there some residual blood that's absorbed in the garment? And aren't we learning together now that that absorbed blood in the garment is not going to be metame? And this supports my position. My position is tuma balua is going to absorb and insulate the tuma, and it doesn't matter if it's a tuma darabanan, and it does not matter if it's a tuma daraisa. So Amarle Rebbe Loshana Amarle. So Reish Lakish says back to Rav Yochanan, Rebbe Loshana Rebbe Chiya Menale. That's a braisa you quoted me, and I didn't see that anywhere in a Mishnah. And it's a really sharp response by Reish Lakish to Rav Yochanan. You want to disprove me? Show me a Mishnah that says that. That's just a braisa. And Tosas over here, you can see the Tosas Divrei HaMaskil Rabbi Chiya Menale. Tosas says, really? That's an acceptable defense? That it's just a braisa and I don't see a Mishnah like that? And if that's true, if this is an acceptable defense, shouldn't we see this much more often in Shas? And we don't. And so Tosas is bothered by that. Tosas deals with it to a certain degree. Ezvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Again, Rav Yochanan goes on the attack. Reviyas dam shenivla bebayis habayis tamei. So v'amrila habayis tahor. So a reviyas of blood, of human remains, it's human blood, that was absorbed into the house. The house becomes tamei, and another brisa says the house is tahor. V'lo pligi habe kelen demikara habe kelen debesof. And we're talking about before absorption and post absorption. Before absorption, so then it's obviously going to be it's going to be metame the house through ohel. And then post-absorption, it's balua. So, and we're obviously talking here about a tumah d'araisa, and you're telling me that once it's balua, it's still going to be metame? It can't be. Nivla b'ksus im niskabes v'yotzi me'men reviyaz dam tameh v'im lav tahora. You know what? We'll stop. Yeah, we'll stop over here. Okay, let's quickly recap our day. Okay. This morning we finished off the discussion regarding ksamim as it relates to we finished off with klaim and I lost the linen thread through the wool garment. Is there a way of testing? The answer is yes. You could dye the garment. The two wool linen don't collect dye at the same rate, and so therefore it would be a good test. We talked about color clothing, not subject to the gzera derabbanan the ksamim. And even though the Chachamim wanted to make a number of gzeras post-Korban based on Mikdash, and they wanted to ban colored clothing from women because it was post-Korban, we shouldn't be wearing colored clothing. But at the same time, however, they declined that thought because they wanted women to be able to have a little bit of a defense against Ksamim. And so therefore, they encourage women to wear colored clothing. Women are, for the most part, encouraged to wear colored clothing. There are times, however, they should be wearing white. But again, that's for a halachashir, not for now. The Mishnah talked about the Shiva Simanim. And as we described, the Shiva Simanim accomplishes two things. One, it's a test to see whether or not it's blood or some other dye. And two, if in fact it's blood, it is mevato the dam. It basically nullifies the blood. But as we learned, and we're going to be saying this again tomorrow morning, is that there has to be an element of hakpada. Meaning, if after you did the test of the seven simanim and it still bothers you, so it could still represent an avatumah. We'll talk more about that tomorrow morning. What the seven agents are, the Mishnah gave us definition, the Gemara gave us some more definition. And then what we learned over the course of this morning is, one, the idea of hakpada, that if you're makbid, it's going to be an issue. And two, what about the idea of tumah balua? After you put it over the seven agents, there are still going to be some residual blood absorbed in the garment itself. And isn't that going to be an issue? Now, according to Rav Yochanan, the answer is simply no. It's not an issue. Neither for Tumah D'Oraisa, neither for Tumah D'Rabbanan, and not even for Tumah D'Oraisa. Balua absorbs and contains the Tumah. And he has a lot of proofs to indicate that this is in fact so. And then Reish Lakish's position is that for a Mayan, for Tumah D'Oraisa, it does not absorb. But for D'Rabbanan, for Ksamim and other Tumah D'Rabbanan, it does absorb. And so Reish Lakish seems, and I know I was hesitant earlier, I'll hesitate again, Reish Lakish seems to dismiss the entire idea of Tumah Balua as it relates to Tumah D'Oraisa.